lightning doesn't strike. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Willow City Council regular meeting Tuesday, March 25th, 2014 at 7 p.m. Mr. Domenichini, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Everybody please stand.
Salute, pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Larry. All right, Mr. Salisbury, roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Councilmember Domenichini?
Here.
Vice Mayor Taylor Vaughn?
Here.
Councilmember Mello?
Here.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Mayor Cobb?
Here. Thank you. Item number four is agenda review. Are there any requested changes by staff?
Nothing from staff, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Council?
Nothing.
Good. Okay. 4A is to consider acceptance by motion of City Council March 25th, 2014 agenda.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries. Item number five is presentations and proclamations. 5A, I will present a Sexual Assault Awareness Month proclamation to Shayla Bain of Rape Crisis Intervention and Prevention. So please allow me to read this before I call you up, please. Sexual Assault Awareness Month proclamation. Whereas one in three women will be raped or beaten in the world. Whereas Sexual Assault Awareness Month calls attention to the fact that sexual violence is widespread and impacts every community member of the City of Willows, and whereas rape crisis prevention and intervention statistics regarding who the perpetrators are confirm if you are 18 or older, 80 to 85% of the time it is someone you know. If you are 17 and under, it's 95 to 97% of the time it is someone you know. And if you are a person with developmental disabilities, 99.9% of the time it is someone you know. And whereas rape, sexual violence, and sexual harassment impact our community, and statistics show one in five adult women and one in 71 adult men will be raped at some point in their lives. And whereas child sexual abuse prevention must be a priority to confront the reality that one in six boys and one in three girls will experience some form of sexual violence before they reach the age of 18. And whereas young people experience heightened rates of sexual violence, and youth ages 12 to 17 were 2.5 times as likely to be victims of rape or other forms of sexual violence. And whereas we must work together to educate our community about sexual violence prevention, supporting survivors and speaking out against harmful attitudes and actions. And whereas with leadership and dedication, we can be successful in preventing sexual violence in the City of Willows by increasing education, awareness, and community involvement. And whereas for the past 40 years, rape crisis intervention and prevention has led the way in the City of Willows in addressing sexual violence by providing free 24-hour hotline services to victims and survivors and their significant others, responding to emergency calls, offering ongoing support and comfort to those impacted by sexual violence during medical exams, criminal proceedings, and empowering those impacted by sexual violence to chart their own course for healing. And whereas the City of Willows strongly supports the efforts of national, state, and rape crisis intervention and prevention, and of every citizen to actively engage in public and private efforts to prevent sexual violence, it's time for all of us to take the appropriate action and support one another to create a safer environment for all. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Jeffrey T. Cobb, on behalf of the Willows City Council and the City of Willows, join rape crisis intervention and prevention advocates in communities across the country in playing an active role to prevent sexual violence. Along with the United States government and the state of California, I do hereby proclaim April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Kayla, please.
Thank you.
Item 5B, City Engineer John Wanger will give the council an update on the city's pavement management program. John?
Yes, sir. Mayor Cobb and council members, tonight I wanted to go over kind of a little bit of paving 101 and our streets and what condition we're at. And coincidentally, at the very end of December and beginning of January, we actually updated the city's pavement management program. So what I want to do, try to make it as riveting as possible, is walk through just some background as far as what's involved with pavement management, what the city streets are like, and kind of where we stand. So as you can see, I think you have copies of this, but the city maintains about 31 centerline miles of roadway, and that's an important asset. It's actually a little bit over $36 million of asset. So it's obviously very important that we want to take good care of that. We have to maintain them. We have to pay attention to it to make sure that we don't neglect them and end up with a real bad situation in the future. The way streets deteriorate is actually, there's a better slide here. For about the first 12 years of the life of a street, starts out on the left side, it's what's called a pavement condition index. 0 means it's pretty much failed. 100 means it's a brand new street. And what happens over the first 10 years, you see very little degradation of the paving. And then you start getting out closer to 15 years, and pretty soon the typical street will begin to deteriorate quite rapidly. So you have about 75% of the useful life of the street occurs within about the first 13 or 14 years. And then within a very short time after that, you have the remainder of its life dropping off really quickly, because the streets get to a certain point and they begin to fail quickly. So the key is, where cities want to pay attention, is you want to treat the streets to the extent possible. You want to catch it by the time you hit where the curve starts to take a steeper degradation. So you want to treat it before it gets significantly degraded. And the reason why is because it takes about 1/10 to 1/5 of the cost if you catch it at that point. And once you go beyond that, it gets very, very expensive. So there are different ways to do this. Most cities, before pavement management programs came out, what they would do would be they would pay attention to the worst street first. You know, as council members and as staff, we get phone calls with people screaming, saying, "When are you going to fix my potholes? You know, my street's going to heck in a handbasket here." And so what would happen is cities would typically take the available monies that they had and go and spend it on the absolute worst streets. And the problem is, if you remember that curve, those streets are down in the failed section, and you're ignoring streets that are within that still savable section. And so there was this trap of fixing the worst first, and that's actually spending your money. Yes, you fix it, but you're able to do so little because you're spending so much on a small portion of the problem. So one of the best ways, and this has come out probably in the last 15 or 20 years, is for cities to develop what's called a pavement management program. And what this program does, and I'll get into it a little bit, but basically it goes out and you have the ability to rate your streets, find out what condition it is. You plug in a whole bunch of field analysis data, and it actually spits out how to spend your money the best. Otherwise, how to take those streets that you can save and save those, and how you and what kind of treatment you give to those streets, etc. So what they do is, the pavement management programs, we take a look at all the streets and find out which ones are actually within that first 75% of its useful life, and like I said, determine the best way to treat each one of those. And one of the first things that we do is, you go out and do a visual inspection of all the streets in the city, and we actually have done that. There's seven different criteria that you look at when we're rating the streets. There's things called alligator cracks, there's utilities, there's rutting, there's a whole variety of those things that we look at, and there's a way to rate each one of the streets. So we went through and actually did that for all of the streets. And what you do is you plug all that data into the pavement management program, and it comes up with what are called PCIs. And PCIs are pavement condition index. And I kind of mentioned that before. If you picture that like when you were in grade school, if you have something that's 100%, that's an A+. Roads are, you know, freshly paved and perfect. If you have a zero, it's pretty much failed. So this kind of gives you a range of what pavement condition indexes are. If it's 70 to 100, the street's considered in good to excellent condition. If it's 50 to 70, it's considered at risk. It'll be called good. If it's 25 to 50, it's considered poor. And if it's 0 to 25, it's considered failed. And the different types of treatments for good to excellent, sometimes you put on what are called slurry seals. You guys have seen that around here where sometimes it looks like you paint a street black, but what you're doing is putting on a wearing surface of about a quarter to 3/8 of an inch, and it just provides a new wearing surface. Streets that are 50 to 70 PCI, a lot of times you'll get a thin asphalt overlay. 25 to 50, sometimes you get a thicker asphalt overlay. And when you get down into the 0 to 25, that means you have to pretty much reconstruct the whole street. So where is the City of Willows in all of this? First of all, the first pavement management program that was developed for the City of Willows was in 2005. And we just went through an update of that. And what we found out is the current condition of all the city streets has a pavement condition of 54. Which is at the very low end of good and almost into the poor range. There's actually a better visual of this in the next one. So you have 29% of your streets that are in very good, which means it has a PCI of 70 to 100. You have 28% which are in the good range, which is 50 to 69. You have 29% of the roads which are actually in poor condition. And we have 14% of the roads that are actually considered in the failed category. And then breaking this down, when a lot of people consider streets, you're going to have your residential streets that, you know, you're typically going to drive on coming out of your house. And those a lot of times lead into what are called collector streets, which a lot of the side streets feed into. And then there's also arterial streets like Tehama would be considered more of an arterial street. And just to break it down a little bit further, on your residential streets, all the city's residential streets lumped together have an average PCI of 52. The collector streets have an average PCI of 46, and your arterial streets have an average PCI of 70. So the arterial streets are actually in a little bit better condition than the others. And this is a sideways view of the city because if I turned it the other way, it wouldn't work. But just to let you know, we produced a map as part of the pavement management program that color rates all of the streets within the city based on what condition they're in. It's a little bit small to get into. So once we get and plug all this data into a pavement management program, it tells you what the PCIs are, and then it leads you into a variety of different treatments depending upon how good or bad the street condition is. And that could range from crack sealing, which is where if there's cracks, they just go out and fill them with tar or asphalt. There's slurry sealing, which we talked about before. Chip sealing, which I think everybody is familiar with. We've done that in town as well. Cape sealing, what a cape seal is a chip seal with a slurry seal over the top of it. So it's almost like you take the rock and you sandwich it between asphalt. Asphalt overlay, that's pretty standard, just new paving. In-place asphalt recycling is something new that's come out in about the last 10 or 15 years, and that's they actually bring in big machines that actually grind up and pulverize the pavement, They inject hot asphalt into it and they lay it down again, and they're able to create a pretty solid road base, and it's a good way to environmentally get away from having to get rid of a whole bunch of old paving and bring in new paving. Full depth asphalt, again, that's a much thicker section of asphalt, or there's road reconstruction, which we talked about, which means you just basically take everything out that's there and put it back in. And so once we have the PCIs, like I said, we plug those into the pavement management program, and it tells you what streets need what treatment. So with that, the other kind of, the pretty cool thing about pavement management programs is we're able to go through budget scenarios. So with the one that we just did, we went through five different scenarios. First one was, if we wanted to maintain the current condition of the streets over the next 5 years, because it's typically a five-year analysis, which would mean at a PCI of 54, and we just held that, how much would it cost to do that? The next analysis, we said, gosh, if we wanted to increase the PCI by 5 points over the next 5 years, how much would it cost to do that? Unconstrained budget, which meant if money were no object and we had enough money to do whatever we want, what would it take to get all the streets up to a PCI of 80, which is considered very good, over the next five? Another one was a scenario where we do nothing, what would happen to the streets there? And then the last one was the one that matches pretty much what the available funds for the city has right now, which is about $140,000 a year, primarily out of gas tax. So we took a look at what would happen with each one of those. So what this shows is, if we do nothing, which is this bottom band here, your average PCI on your street over the next 5 years would go from 54 down to 44, which would mean it would drop 10 points and it would be a poor condition. The next line up, this would be if we spent the $140,000 that we currently put into streets every year, what will happen over the next 5 years is the PCI will drop from 54 down to 46. It's a little bit better than the do nothing, but again, we're losing ground. In order to maintain the PCI rating of around 54, 55 over the next 5 years, it would take about $1.2 million annually to do that. If we wanted to increase the PCI by 5 points, over the next 5 years, it would take about $1.8 million annually. And if you wanted to get really carried away and you hit the lottery and somebody decided to give the city a bunch of money, to bring the PCI up to 82 over the next 5 years would cost about $4.19 million annually. So what that's telling me, and Skylar and I have talked about this, although we're doing our best with the money that we have, we're still losing ground. Now, the one thing I want to mention about this is when you take the data from the streets, the very first time you put that data into a program, it figures out street degradation based on kind of national averages and state averages. And what happens is as you do this, and what we're supposed to do, what they say is you're supposed to resurvey your arterial and collector streets about every 3 years and resurvey all the streets in the city once every 5 years. And you do that a couple of times, and what it starts to do internally within the program is it starts to adjust the deterioration curve based on what the city's actual experience is. My guess in looking at the streets, and I've been city engineer since 2008, is this is painting probably a little bit worse scenario than what's out there right now, but not by much. So what it's saying is that, you know, we're not spending enough, but we don't have a lot to put into it. One of the things that I will mention is that over the last several years, what we've seen with gas tax is, and I don't know whether all the council members have heard this, but the gas tax rate that have been paid to the city, which funds a lot of our street maintenance costs, have been slowly losing. It hasn't been keeping up with inflation, and consequently, the contributions to cities have really dwindled, and cities are not able to keep up. So what happens is, whether it's the city of Willows or any other city in the state, we begin to aggressively trying to chase after a lot of other funding to try to keep our streets up, but it's getting more and more competitive because people are getting a little bit more desperate in order to try to maintain what their streets are. So what does this all mean? First of all, like I said, it gives you a good idea as a council, the conditions of the streets and what may be needed to adequately maintain them. $140,000 spent for the next 5 years. If we're on the average curve, we're going to drop from the good category, the low end of the good category, to the high end of the poor category. But probably more importantly, what this does is for the money that we do have, it's telling us where is the wisest place to spend that money to keep those streets that are in decent condition and try to maintain those so they don't drop off into a real bad condition. So as I said, we talked about gas tax and some of the problems with that. Skyler and Skyler's predecessor, Greg, have been excellent as far as working with the county's Transportation Commission about chasing after all kinds of funds. It is limited what we can chase after. It is extremely competitive, and it's getting more so every year. But it is very, very important to always be aggressive in trying to go after that. The other thing that I will say is, matter of fact, right before this meeting, Skyler and I were kicking around, even though it may not be the ideal recommended treatment for the street per our pavement management program, there are a little bit more aggressive approaches that cost lower amounts of money that I think we may try to implement over the next couple of years and see if we can get longer lifespans out of some of the streets. So suggested approaches, obviously begin implementing the annual pavement rehabilitation projects, make sure that we're spending the money the smartest way possible. Based on the monies from gas tax, we know, well, you've heard tonight that we're going to continue to lose ground, but we keep seeking after funds. Anything from safe routes to school to bicycle lanes to a number of different things, and we could actually incorporate some repaving in some of those. And then the other thing is to make sure every 3 to 5 years we go through an update of this. It's been 9 years since the last update. Skyler is very proactive on wanting to make sure to implement what we've just created and not just let that report sit on his shelf and collect dust. But it may not be great news for you, but it's the reality of the situation. It's what we're here to deal with. And I mentioned some other options. You know, if the council decided to spend more money, you know, that's obviously one option. We could reconstruct, if there was more money put in, we could reconstruct more streets that are in really poor condition. But again, you know, maybe there's some other, according to the pavement management program, maybe there's some other streets that we could save. But also, you know, you obviously are our bosses, and we make sure that we're doing what you guys like. We're trying to provide the best information and the best guidance, but certainly if there's things that the council wants to do that is different than what we're proposing, we're certainly all ears for that. So I believe that ends it, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, John. Gary, do you have any questions?
Oh, yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, John, very good report. Thank you. It's like I say, it's not terrific news, but it's reality. You touched on, I'm going to give a brief report. Larry and I serve on the Transportation Commission. We had a meeting last Thursday. I'll give a brief report on that later, but you're absolutely correct. The funding is drying up, and it is highly competitive. It's getting more so all the time. So thank you for the update and report.
Sure.
So,
Mr.
Mayor.
Thank you.
Pedestrian improvements, what does that consist of?
Pedestrian improvements, actually the pavement management program won't cover those, but I believe we have an inventory. I know at one point we went through and did an inventory of where there's gaps missing in sidewalks. We've certainly taken a look at where those are with respect to, for instance, access to schools or shopping areas. And a good example of a project that we're doing right now that's addressing some of those, we've got a federally funded project that's on both Sacramento Street and Butte Street. And as part of those projects, which is actually going to reconstruct most of those streets, as a matter of fact, we're going to be in Sacramento Street, we're redoing the sewer as well. But in those projects, we're actually filling in those gap closures and putting in sidewalk where there isn't any sidewalk right now. So we are actively pursuing that, and we take that into account when we're trying to treat some streets. And to the extent that we're able to through costs, we go off the inventory list that we've created over the last couple of years and try to make sure that we include those within the project.
How about East Green Street? Is that a county street or is that a city street? East Green?
I can answer that one.
Green?
I know the area you're talking about where Eureka Street would connect to Green Street off of Tehama. And the city boundary line where the county and the city are would be if you were to follow the alley directly east of Lassen Street. So the alley would be behind, there's homes and then there's an open field. That would be the alleyway behind those homes. If you followed that line south, that line goes south, crosses Green Street right there, and then heads all the way down to Eureka Street and across to Tehama. So all of that roadway is county.
Thanks.
So we're going to be looking at funding a portion of the California Statewide Local Streets and Roads Needs Assessment, which does this tie in at all with the information that they'll be using? This is a League of Cities project.
We filled out, they sent us a survey probably about a month ago, and we submitted that about 2 weeks ago to go into the statewide database for coming up with the needs assessment. So actually it was very timely because we had just completed our pavement management analysis and that led to this report. Excuse me. And so we were able to give them very accurate, very recent information. So yes, it is going into that.
Oh, great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John and Skyler, for the presentation. It's very helpful. It helps put the everything into perspective, what we need, and it's good. I see it's good information for the public, so they're aware of what's is going to be entailed in maintaining our streets. On that note, I'd ask if staff could can you post this PowerPoint presentation to the website? Is that possible? So that the public can have a chance to look at it.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem at
okay.
all. Yep.
That's it. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Yeah, I'll just conclude with, we all want the best streets possible. I mean, he's doing a fantastic job with what we have as far as resources and money goes. We're coming out of a very fiscally difficult time, and it's going to take time, I think, for us to really rebuild the way we'd like to. And in the end result, I think we want to have the best streets possible. And so we do what we can. So with that being said, thank you very much for your presentation. Okay. Would anybody in the audience like to speak on towards this? Please step forward.
Thank you for asking if I'm making. Sir, one of my questions is I noticed that Sacramento Street, and I think you had just alluded to it, that they're going to replace a sewer. Wasn't it just a couple of years ago that they did like a chip seal on Sacramento, and now they're going to turn around and tear it all up? Is that correct?
There was a chip seal and a slurry done on Sacramento Street. The slurry was completed in 2012. The chip seal was probably 2010 or 2011 prior to that. Those two strategies are, and John could jump in here and help me out, but those two are considered just maintenance sort of preservation techniques. That street prior to those two maintenance preservation techniques was indicated as a street that had some serious deflection and crowning and was in need of basically a complete rehabilitation. And as we potholed for utilities and to do the soils analysis underneath the street, we found a pretty thin layer of asphalt that makes up that entire street. So it's a relatively old street, and it's been in the statewide transportation improvement program funding programming list since the early 2000s. I found the programming sheets for 2003, so it's been in the queue for these funds for some time. And the preservation technique that was placed on those two streets is merely sort of a band-aid to get you through until the reconstruction takes place.
Okay. Well, one of my things is it always amazed me. You would see, you know, and it's not just Willows, other cities do the same thing. They'll go in, pave it, and then a year later, the utilities will come in and decide that they're going to do that. Is there any way we can coordinate and ask the utility companies if there's...
Yeah, as part of the as part of a typical design project for a road reconstruction, you send out utility notices, and those utility notices accomplish a couple of things. First of all, we ask utility companies where their utilities are to make sure that, you know, we're not going to end up with some problems. But the other thing is, many times what we do is alert utilities at that time, saying, "Look, we're going to do a street reconstruction, and if you have anything in the next 5 years, if you were planning on replacing any of your utilities in the next 5 years, do it now." Because once we pave the street, I'm not going to say we have an ordinance or a written policy, but my kind of unwritten, rather strict policy, unless it's an absolute emergency, you pretty much don't let a utility back in and cut a brand new street. Because, and I know exactly what you're saying, I see it all over the place. And it's just very frustrating. But we take a very proactive approach in making sure to alert all the utilities that, you know, Cal Water, they're probably the utility that, them and PG&E are the two utilities that are most common that need some work within the street. So those are the agencies that we tend to try to coordinate with closer.
Okay. Well, that was my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, again, thank you, John. Item 5C is Public Works Director Skyler Lipsky will give the council an update on the wastewater treatment plant permit and an overview of the city's sewer master plan. Skyler.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council. We're just trying to see if we can get a crick in the chief's neck here just by having to turn around so much. So I wanted to provide an update and some information on both our sewer collection system and the wastewater treatment plant for council. I'll start with the planning documents. So the planning documents for both of these systems are our sewer master plan, last updated in 2008. It's a 15-year plan. It's comprised of as-built drawings, prior studies data, sewer TV inspection logs, and data from operators. The other planning document that we use mostly for our wastewater treatment plant is our discharge permit. That's on a 5-year cycle, and it's based on the state basin plan. The funding for our sewer collection system and our wastewater plant come from the Sewer Enterprise Fund. Another option is loans, State Revolving Fund, USDA. The city funded the latest wastewater treatment plant expansion primarily through USDA loans. Grants are also available. There are fewer and often required to meet demographic and or geographic requirements that may or may not, the city of Willows may or may not be able to meet depending on the grant. Maintenance and capital improvement for the collection system in the plant. The city typically performs the minor repairs, regular scheduled maintenance. You see us with the big orange jetback truck out there cleaning the lines. And larger projects are typically contracted, rehabilitation, facility upgrades. Highlights of the collection system. There are 29 miles of sewer pipe, and I don't have a dollar figure on that asset, although I know it's in our sewer master plan, but I liked how John highlighted that that is a valuable asset to the city, and it's important that we maintain that the best way we can. We have 5 lift stations, and this includes the Northeast Willows Community Service District area. This is from our sewer master plan, updated in 2008, and I thought it was an interesting chart. This shows our sewer pipe age in our collection system as a percentage of the entire system. Much of the city sewer system was installed and laid out in 1920 and in 1911. So over half of our sewer system is approaching just about a century old. You can see that the other larger chunk was installed, I believe, mostly in the 70s. Some of the challenges we face with our collection system, the age of it, as you just saw in that last chart, roots, grease, infiltration and inflow, and that's water, rainwater typically making its way into the collection system. That's a problem because that adds a load on our wastewater treatment plant that we don't want to have to treat. And improperly installed laterals, those can cause a problem for our cleaning maintenance activities, and then cracking, missing pipe, deflection. Our sewer master plan lays out capital improvement priorities and costs, and this is probably the biggest overview I can give. It goes into much more detail on the exact segments of sewer line to be replaced and the reasons. The general overview here is not given necessarily on a timeline schedule. It's a 15-year planning document, but it does lay them out based on priorities. So priority one, if you can see this, is a little over $1.7 million, and that's about 11,000 lineal feet of sewer line to be replaced. So priority one being the most important critical infrastructure that needs to be repaired, rehabilitated, and then priority 5 all the way at the end here, less of a priority, not something that needs to be done now, but should be done within the 15-year cycle. And the cumulative cost is a little over $4.5 million in that 15 years. I guess I could make a comment here on this slide that it is expensive to replace sewer line, just the nature of it, like reconstructing a road. And so it's important to take advantage of the economies of scale, and that's what's going to happen with the Sacramento Street reconstruction, is to take advantage of that, the fact that we're going to open up the road and replace the sewer line, which is actually indicated as a priority one, needs to be done now, sewer replacement. So shifting to the wastewater treatment plant, construction in 1948, upgraded in 92 and 2006. It is currently a grade 4 tertiary facility with beneficial reuse of the water. It's about 800,000 gallons or 0.8 million gallons per day on average. That's the number of gallons that are treated at the facility. And we are permitted for up to 1.2 million gallons per day. That's average dry weather flow. So we have a little bit of room to grow. There are 5 lift stations at the wastewater plant and 4 distinct treatment processes. It's operated and maintained by Severn Trent Services. Some challenges there, although the facility was recently upgraded, some of the equipment is starting to show its age. The largest challenge presenting the sewer collection and the wastewater treatment plant system as a whole is our permit compliance. So as the council is aware, I believe the last update on our permitting issue was in August of last year, and this is, you heard me throwing the terms around, of municipal supply beneficial use. So basically, there's a beneficial use on a waterway that we discharge into that requires us to meet certain constituent standards to discharge into that waterway. We don't meet them now, but we have a time schedule order. We have some time to comply. So What's happening during this time is the state is actually spearheading an effort to go through a basin plan amendment to remove that beneficial use from the waterway, which would, in effect, put us back in compliance. We're not alone. Colusa, Biggs, and Live Oak are all case study areas along with us. So they're in the same boat, and they're trying to get their waterways de-designated for this specific use as well. So here is the latest permit compliance timeline. The yellow is where we are shading towards. So the bottom line is that at the end of next year, the de-designation should be complete, and it should be law. It should be in the books on the basin plan. And our permit will expire at the end of 2016. So we've got a buffer of time there before our permit expires. That's my presentation, short and sweet. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Good, thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Okay, I'll start. Thank you for the presentation. This is good information. One thing I had, or mainly not so much for you, Skyler, but for staff for a future item, is I'd like us to have a discussion or presentation on how we're going to raise that $4.5 million over the next 15 years.
It may be premature to take a look at that if in fact the basic plan amendment goes through, it's unlikely that that will have an immediate impact of $4 million. So with the time schedule that we're working under now and meeting compliance and what's taking place, if I'm understanding this correctly, it doesn't appear that we're going to have to retrofit plant to meet the compliance standards for our next permit period. So that certainly provides us a new permit at a 5-year window to operate. And beyond that, it would seem highly unlikely that there would be a reversal of that decision. And we're sitting on a state-of-the-art plant that was built to the spec to do that. And therefore, you would think we would have many 5-year cycles permitting, given that we would have to have some maintenance issues, but it doesn't appear that in the foreseeable future that it would be necessary to retrofit the plant to meet a new standard. So unless the Regional Water Quality Control Board were again to significantly alter the standards, and it appears they're not going in that direction, it appears that they are pursuing the correction that we would prefer, but that is the most correct, if you will. What we dump into is an ag drain. It's not a mutually beneficial system. So if they make the basin plan amendment, then it will be, we will have that de-designation, and we should be meeting the standard, and then we wouldn't have a need to schedule a discussion about a $4.5 million upgrade to the wastewater treatment.
Okay, then did I misunderstand? I thought that one bar chart, the $4.5 million with the different priorities, was for sewer line replacement.
Okay, for sewer line replacement.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's what my concern is, you know, how will we budget to be able to provide the funds for that? We'll leave it up to the professor, right?
Your point is well taken, but the CM trying to create a nexus here, but unfortunately, we're dealing with two issues.
Yeah.
And we have made the conscious decision over the last couple of years, one, to not look at a rate increase until we know what's going to happen pertaining to the basin plan amendment and the effects of that on the collection system, and two, we've also held off not only a rate study standpoint, but from also a looking at possible debt options to fund this for the very same reason. And so in an outstanding job explaining why we had to hold off, or why we made the conscious decision to hold off, not only from a rate standpoint, but looking for a funding source. So I would tend to take the approach of we wait until we have the results of the basin plan amendment and feel confident that it's going to go through, and then we take a look at financing this 4.5 million. My concern for the citizens of this community is we get premature on that front and go after a rate increase to deal with half of this, and then suddenly have to deal with the other half of this. That would create a rate shock that is not very palatable to anyone involved. So you are aware, there's been a conscious decision to hold off, and then I guess I would further head down the path of honoring a request of how are we going to pay for this for the next several years. I would like us to wait until we have a definitive answer on the base plan amendment and see what we have to do, if anything, on the treatment side of this before we look at the plan.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly a piece of information I wanted. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, and just so you are aware, we do have built in, from a cash flow standpoint, we do already have approximately $200,000 a year built in for collection system upgrades. We don't always spend $200,000 a year and carry it over, but that's built in going back to when we did the rate increase in anticipation of the retrofit that was done in 2006, built into that structure. And you'll see that when we go to budget time. We set aside $200,000 a year for collection system rehabilitation. And so, again, we're looking at $4 million as a drop in the bucket, but as Skylar and John have done here, taking advantage of economies of scale, we have an open road, so we're going to replace it. We've carried over some. We have about a $400,000 sewer there. And then, again, applying $200,000 a year, we may do it once every 2 or 3 years so we can gather up. But I want to make sure it's not like we're doing nothing on that front. We are doing something at this time.
Okay, thank you.
I remember when this project went forward in Northeast Willows to bring them into our sewer area. Is there any difference between the service there, because it's still outside the city limits, with what's inside the limits, as far as limits on growth? Is there any limit on growth in Northeast Willows that would impact the city's services?
Yes, there is, your question. The agreement that we have in place limits them to residential properties only. They can't have commercial development. We have at least one, and I want to say two, we have granted two minor exceptions to that. An existing business that was part of Northeast Willows, that one of the businesses wanted to extend their existing sewer line into, they wanted to install another bathroom in the shop for the guys that were there, and we allowed them to run an extension attach because there was an existing account that was there, it was grandfathered. I think there was a consideration for something else, but it never really came through. But that, in my tenure, that's as much as I can remember in the agreement. We have redone the agreement, I want to say, in 2008 or 2009, and it was originally in place for, I think, 20 years that was exhausted. So it's got a ways to run, and that's the one that's coming up before LAFCO. You haven't seen it yet, but it's going to come.
It's going to come. Exactly what I was thinking.
They're restricted to single family residents only. They can't do multifamily units, and they can't do commercial development.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that answer.
My questions were already answered already. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to say before it escaped my mind, Skylar, as well as goes for John, also as city engineer, you guys make a great team. I know your predecessor, Skylar, Greg Tigers, did a fantastic job. You've done very good work leading the Public Works Department. I'm proud of your operation and all of the unheralded work that you and your team do every day that a lot of folks take for granted. For example, the sewer mains. Nobody's happy when sewers are backed up, and you keep them running. So I just want to say thanks to you and John as well for taking on everything that you do and doing it well. But a very good report. Thank you for the information. We do have aging sewer lines here now, and you wholeheartedly pointed that out. We have some seriously aging sewer lines, and something that we need to think about and keep in consideration. And as far as Tim Salisbury mentioned, the carryover funding, I know sewer operations are not cheap in any way, but I think the city is doing a fine job managing the assets that you have. I know I was part, along with city staff, Greg, Steve Holzinger, Tim, and others, in meeting with then Senator Doug LaMalfa, and also later on Assemblyman Dan Loke, who came to our rescue in a couple of ways when we were dealing with the Regional Water Quality Control Board requirements, the crazy guidelines that they imposed on five or so communities, Willows being one of them, and we did get to some extent a reprieve on that. And Steve and Skyler were talking about that earlier. So that is, I think we're in a lot better position than we could have been a couple of years ago. It wasn't looking too bright 2 or 3 years ago, but that process is at least they're working with us. So I know some letters were written on behalf of the city, and it did appear to help. But anyway, good presentation, very good information, and thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, ditto. Doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much. Very informative. Keeping us updated. Thank you, gentlemen. Item number 6, public comment, written communications. Members of the public wishing to address the council on any items not on the agenda may do so at this time when recognized by myself. However, no formal action will be taken unless placed on a future agenda. Public comment is generally restricted to 3 minutes. Would anybody like to speak? No? Okay. Item number 7 is the consent agenda. Consent items are considered to be routine by city council, will be enacted in one motion. There will be no separate discussion on these items unless a council person or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda. Item 7A is to consider approval of general payroll and direct deposit check registers. 7B, consider approval of the city council minutes for the regular meeting held on March 11, 2014. Item 7C, consider adoption of a resolution declaring certain city property a surplus and authorizing the sale or disposal of same. Item 7D, consider approval of a funding request by the League of California Cities to participate in an ongoing statewide streets and roads needs assessment project. Item 7E, approve appropriations and transfers as directed by the City Council during the special mid-year budget review meeting held March 11, 2014. Pleasure of the Council.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
It's been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. Are there any further discussion?
Actually, I have a question on 7C, the surplus property. Can I ask that now, or?
Yeah.
Chief Dahl, I'll let you get the mic.
Yeah, the mic's easier this way.
So these, what are they, Glocks or surplus property? So a better model came out, or?
No, these are basically, they're handguns that we've had that some have been are probably almost over 10 years old. We've spent thousands around, thankfully only shooting at the range and not at bad people with them. So after a certain period of time, they start to wear down and they needed to be replaced.
Just normal replacement.
Normal wear and tear.
Okay, that was my question. Then, but on a item 7E, I'd like to pull that off for a separate discussion.
Okay.
But that requires the first and the second.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor, just to answer Mr. Dominguez's inquiry on the weapons. My agency, we recently replaced our 12-year-old Glocks, similar model, and they were, it's just wear and tear, and they start to break, and it's not good when they break when you need them. So 10-year-old guns need to go, so even though they're fine weapons. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, you're welcome. So would you...
In order to segregate item 7E, the motion maker and the second will have to agree to amend or restate the motion, because there's a motion made to approve the consent agenda as presented. I believe. I'm at a loss with the help of the city clerk to recite or restate exactly what was said, but I believe the motion was to approve the consent agenda. And a second.
You're right.
As presented. What item was that, Mr. Mayor? What item was being asked to be?
7E.
7E.
To be withdrawn.
I can certainly amend the motion, or.
I think that would be best interest.
Mr. Mayor, can I interrupt? Councilor Dominguez, is it something where we can discuss and then place back on?
Perhaps, yeah. It's in regard to the receivership. Appropriation on that.
I'm going to try to anticipate your question. The information we provided on 11th talked about an estimated cost of $55,000. You're presented tonight on a later item with an estimated cost today of $44,000. The city manager did ask me if I wanted to amend that number. I made the conscious decision not to, in case there are some additional backing us to deal with. I felt the prudent thing to do was to leave it at the original 30 plus 25 more to make it 55 if we don't end up there, or so much better. And so that was the decision process in leaving it where it was at. Was that the nature of your question?
Somewhat, actually.
Bad guess on my part.
So. Pretty close. Actually, I'm opposed to the additional appropriation. So that's what I'm after. I'm opposed to the additional appropriation of $25,000 for the receivership at this point.
You know, one of your options can be then is to put it back on a vote no on the consent calendar.
That's what I was thinking.
Do so.
So, who's the parliamentarian here tonight? Are we getting this nice and complicated?
Well, I don't just amend the original motion and the second. If that's agreeable to you guys, we'll pull it off and then we'll discuss it.
Okay. That is absolutely agreeable to me. I move that the motion be amended to pull item 7E from the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, it's been amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion carries. Item 7E is to approve appropriations and transfers as directed by the City Council during the special mid-year budget review meeting held March 11, 2014. Since you request to have it pulled off, why don't you go ahead and lead us with your question.
Okay, well, as I see the process in July, at City Council, it's approximately a $25,000 process we looked at. Then 2 weeks ago at mid-year budget review, as of December 31st, we had already spent $33,000 on this process. And it's looking at going possibly to $55,000 on this process. So I have a couple of concerns. One concern, I'm going to be blunt, is on the oversight of the expenditure, because it's far exceeded what our agreement was in July. As I remember, the understanding of the City Council was that it was about approximately $25,000 process. Now it's heading to $55,000 potentially, $45,000 to $55,000. And then I'm wondering what the prospects of actually recovering our costs on this. For the three properties, we're looking easily between taxes owed on them as of last year, and our costs could easily be upwards of $160,000 for these three properties. And I'm curious as to how we are going to recover our costs on that.
Okay.
So that's where I'm sitting.
Steph.
Let me try to break it down to component parts. We've had the discussion at the mid-year review and returned the appropriation as directed by the council. So I'm going to say that staff has returned with the item that the council wanted to see on this meeting. In addition to that request, there was a request to have an item placed on tonight's agenda to have a review review of that, and that's been done. But I don't think there's been an oversight. I don't think there's a misappropriation. I think that we have reviewed, as we do, any other agreement that we have in place, and we have complied with the items of the contract. And the cost is what it is. The attorneys told us at the time that they estimated, that's made very clear in their contract, that we're responsible for all costs, whether it exceeds the estimate or not. The estimate was exceeded. They've explained that. The best I can tell you is they're comfortable. I'm comfortable based on the review that I've done with all of the other cities that have used the law firm that have said that they have always recovered their cost, that we're going to recover the cost. Now, with that being said, we had some discussion at the subcommittee level about the recovery of the entire of what may have been due to the city. But that's billing periods for up to 10 years or in excess of 10 years where the city has never collected a penny, and we've continued to spend money year after year after year after year. So this was a program that was set in place to kind of stem that tide, if you will, and stop it. I think it's addressing that issue. I'm comfortable that when the whole of the process is complete, we will recover all of the expense that we have spent on the attorneys to date. And if there's some additional cost, it's going to be, as Tim suggested, a little bit of back-end cost. But all of the substantial legal fees have been billed. The bulk of their work is completed. There's going to be maybe a little bit of cleanup, but most of the stuff that needs to be done now is handled through the receiver, not through the attorneys. The receivers are, in essence, responsible for the properties and have to answer to the courts as to how they dispose of the properties, if you will, and distribute the expense. The city stands immediately behind the receiver in collecting that. So the expense that we've incurred to this point, we're first on the list. I believe there's sufficient money. I believe it's reasonable to expect that for the $44,000 that we've spent, those three properties will generate $44,000 in return.
I don't see it that way, or I'm skeptical that it will be that way. But really, it's as much for me the process. Again, our discussion here in July was $25,000, and now it's up to $44,000. And we weren't made aware of this until 2 weeks ago. So I'm just going to leave it at I'm not satisfied with the procedure on this.
Can I add to that?
I guess I want to at this point, if you have angst or displeasure with that, Mr. Dominguez, I ask that you point that out. The city manager asked before he left in December for an update. And as he was leaving, I did not provide that update until he got back. Okay. So in terms of that time frame, and that time frame included some significant billing in late December, early January. So I guess I would ask if you have angst on that, that be pointed at myself and not the staff in its entirety. Because he asked for a number. He did not get it until he got back. By then, the time spent by the attorney had been spent. And so I do respect that you focus that concerns.
Larry, do you have a question?
Yeah, I agree with you. That was my concern, too. But I don't think it's a money pit. I think, as the manager said, that it's at the end of the amount of money. And it's actually more than $44,000 we spent. There's another $2,500 on that. So it's up to $46,700. I thought $25,000 originally was pretty low for three properties for receivership. And being part of the subcommittee, I felt kind of guilty when I seen that. So I took it personal. But I do see a point. But I think we're at the end of it, if that helps.
Gary, Joe.
But I'd like to be updated if I can, because it was kind of a shock to me right off the bat. It wasn't a gradual shock. It was right, boom. So that's why it hurts. That's all I have.
Here.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. From my point of view, since I first came on the council in 2008, as it's been pointed out here, these blighted properties have been an issue. They're an issue major issue for the citizens who live in the immediate area of those properties, who care for their property. They're citizens of the City of Willows, and I strongly believe that the City of Willows needed to take action on these blighted properties. The legal fees are nearly wrapped. I'm confident that the monies will be recovered. It's the money that's requested to be appropriated, it's basically, from my standpoint, it is the cost of doing business under the conditions. And these three properties are terrible, terribly blighted properties and need to be dealt with. And I think we're utilizing due diligence by pursuing the route that we're on at this point.
Okay, thank you.
I'll add one more thing to that. We were talking about lawyers too, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're in the business to make the money, so I'm sure they're gonna milk as much as they can, so. But I think it's at the end.
Yeah, I was on the subcommittee also, and all of the questions that you're asking came up as part of those discussions about this project. It was brought to us by the fire chief and by the building department, so it was not instigated by city staff at the administrative level. They had some real concerns about mitigation on these properties. Ongoing abatement. My understanding at the time was that we were unable to have the county go through with the tax sales that would have been a logical move to bring these properties forward as possible saleable properties through that avenue. So it's very rare that, you know, we can be proactive in doing things. And with all of the questions that we had, we asked the city manager to vet this group and make sure that in the past they had a good history, that we weren't just taking their word for it, that they could perform. And he was able to do that and find that everybody was very satisfied with the experiment, with the experience that they had. So I understand your feeling that it's way over budget, but I think there was an idea that we were establish a baseline and then we would go forward with it. And I think that it's appropriate that we continue.
But I do see your concern because it's almost doubled. You know, so it draws a red flag.
Well, it's actually, I could easily split my concerns into two parts. One, the total cost. And then I'm going to be blunt. We should have been made aware about the cost escalation soon.
Just gradually, like a gradual. You
know. Yeah, and so we need to work better together to prevent something like this in the future.
I'll address that just by saying, in the fall, I basically appealed to the city council to invest heavily in a new city financial database that would allow everybody to be networked together so that we would have real-time live reporting, which is something we desperately miss, so that at any time I can sign on and see exactly what's been spent to a particular vendor. I don't have that luxury. And I appreciate what Mr. Salisbury has said, but I get the distinct impression that the finger pointing is at me because I didn't report back to the council. We approved all of the invoices. The council has liaisons on the Finance Committee, which go through each of the bills. Anybody could have realized it was expensive. Plus, every check register is presented to this body for approval. So we all had the same level of understanding when the money was being spent. And it was unanimously approved by the council at each occurrence. So we'll do a better job of reporting back to the council on any particular program that you like. But if we just had the courtesy of, hey, I'd like to know what's being spent here, it would save us some time from debating who did what wrong. Because I don't feel that I have done anything outside the scope of my authority that the council has charged me with in executing this contract.
No one was pointing fingers. I wasn't pointing any fingers. I was just saying at all. That it's just a discussion here, right?
Well, no, it's not just a discussion. We're going to be making
Okay, well, approval. Can I finish what I'm saying? I wasn't pointing any fingers. I don't think Larry was either. We were just concerned because it was just a shock. It was a shock. Like my wife paying her bills, all of a sudden she says, we owe double. You couldn't inform me every pay period. You know, that's all. And I understand that it's at the end. That's all. It is at the end. And I agree with Hanson that it is at the end. And we're going to get our money back. We will get our money back.
I'll conclude just by saying I have very few projects come in as originally estimated. Just about anything you do is going to come in on the budget.
Yeah, but estimate. I thought an estimate, I don't know what Webster's Dictionary is an estimate, but I don't think it's double.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of projects that double.
Yeah, and an estimate?
But it is the price of doing business, and if we want to finish this business, that's what we're going to have to do.
Well, it's a good company, but still lawyers.
So, if there's any further questions, counsel? We need to make a motion to approve this.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, please?
I suppose so.
My name is Jeff Williams. My question is we keep talking about getting our 50-some thousand, 40-some thousand dollars back, but are we actually, how much is owed on weed abatement and maintenance in the years past? How much is owed against all those properties? Do we know?
That's kind of
I don't know that we have a defined answer. We have a number of $160,000. Is that the totality of back property taxes on
that? That was just property taxes and our legal expenses.
Okay, I'm going to guess that because what happens, Mr. Williams, is when we do an abatement on the property, and these are properties that have gone through serious abatements in certain instances. In fact, I think about 5 or 6 years ago on one of the ones on Sacramento Street, you actively questioned some of the situations and how it was going on. So yes, it has been, you know, it has been well into the four figures each year on the abatement process on at least two, if not all, of these properties. And that does, if it is not paid at the time, does go on the property tax bill. Do I have the specific tax bills in front of me? No, I don't. But I would have to assume that 160 includes the cost of this abatement. What goes along, and my hopes are too, that this $44,000 is recouped in the net. The bigger issue that I think we need to keep our eye on all here, and I will say this, if I can say, I hear you. From a standpoint, I guess I'm going to defend this organization, the staff of this organization, that we very rarely have cost overruns. This one,
you're right.
This one, the timing of this is such, we knew it, we did not inform you, and again, that should rest with me and me alone. That having been said, we do very rarely have cost overruns. We're very careful in that arena, and we do, in those situations, make you aware. This one did not happen, and for that, I apologize. Secondly, this is as much in these situations, too, as was noted. We had hoped for a property tax lien sale by the county for a number of years, and it wasn't happening. Ironically, they're not doing it at this point in time, but we've already gone through the receivership process. And it's now owned by the receiver, or it's adversely possessed by the receiver. We do need to keep in mind, this is as much to stem the tide of further expenditures as it is cost containment or cost recoupment. And if we can stop this process of further abatements for which we're not being repaid for, then we've won half the battle here. And if we ultimately don't see dollar for dollar return, that is unfortunate, but we stop further expenditure to the city that we ultimately are not recouping. And I think we need to look at that in this picture as much as anything else. I would respectfully ask that we collectively do that. Thank you.
Okay. Even if we don't get a dollar return, you're still getting rid of those blighted properties.
That's exactly my point, sir.
Okay.
Okay, counsel.
Thank you.
We need a motion for item number C.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move
that
we approve item 7E from the consent calendar, which is the appropriation and transfer to approve during the special mid-year budget review for the receivership program.
I second the motion.
And a second. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, just one thing I didn't say in my earlier comments. This There's definitely a health and safety issue. That's the bottom line. There's a health and safety issue that's been going on for many years. It's just going to cost more money if we just, and being with utilizing due diligence, we just can't look the other way. We're well into the process. The process is working, and we just need to push on and wrap the project up for the health and safety of our citizens.
Agreed.
Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries. Item number 8 is public hearings. There are none. Item number 9, ordinances. There are none. Item number 10, items introduced by city council or administrative staff for discussion purposes only. Staff.
There's nothing from staff.
Thank you. Is there anything from council?
No.
No.
I have a question. The cleanup date as proposed, do you have any idea when that might be? Or you have
May,
been?
May 3rd.
May 3rd?
Saturday, May 3rd. 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., the vacant lot immediately behind Memorial Hall. And there will be information going out, I think, with the waste management, in the waste management bill, they'll make a blurb, and we'll get information out in the newspaper. We'll also inform at the abatement hearings that are scheduled for Monday, next Monday. All of those folks will be informed of that opportunity to discard their unwanted materials, let's say. And we'll get a lot of publicity out about that. Last time was very successful. I think this time will be equally as successful.
About Mr. Lipsky on the surplus sale, you have any ideas on or dates on something like that?
On surplus sale of the city property?
Mm-hmm.
For the Glocks or for the...
Oh, that too, but...
but for just some of the public works items. Well, we've just recently collected all of the items at the city shop, and so now we're in a position where we can surplus them all from one location.
And that goes in the paper, so the public kind of know, so I know about it? Again.
Yeah, yeah. We'll most likely be using BidCal. It's a surplus service that a lot of cities use around here. I believe this city has used it in the past. And they basically get the most exposure out of anybody in the North State for surplusing that
stuff. Because they have a website, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Thank you. That's it.
Anybody else? Sure?
No.
Okay, very good then. Item number 11, new business. 11A, council revisit the discussion directions provided to staff during the July 23rd, 2013 regular city council meeting in which they approved a contract for special counsel. Staff?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm not sure I can add a lot more than hasn't already been said, other than it was a process that was identified by the fire chief and the building official. We brought it before the public safety subcommittee to have some discussion. There was some lengthy discussion there. The subcommittee was comfortable that we wanted to move forward. We brought an item back to the council in July. We reviewed all of that history with the council. We presented the item to the best of our knowledge, what we were given to work with at the time, and the council unanimously approved the contract and a resolution that authorized me to execute the contract on the city's behalf. The billings have come in to date. There is substantial work that's been done by the attorneys in accordance with the contract that we entered into with them. They're entitled to be paid. They're entitled to be paid in a timely fashion, and they were paid accordingly. And as I've said, each of the bills were presented to the council for approval. I don't know what more I can say. Everything that we were charged with doing, we did. Everything that the council asked us to do, we've done. But if there's still additional questions, we'll be happy to try to answer those.
Okay. Start down here. Larry, what do you say?
No questions.
Gary?
Oh, no, Mr. Mayor. My questions have been answered. Thank you.
Gary?
No questions.
Yeah, I have a question on the Jones and Mayer billing. At the end of January, the basically credited us back about $8,500 in billing. How did that come about?
Yeah, as long as I've screwed this one up 13 ways from Thursday to the 14th. Oversight at the finance level. We've due on the bill, but from the current monthly billing, previous payment across the mail. So,
okay.
The status of folks. So.
Okay. Been there, done that.
Oversight on my part.
I'll expect a cake next meeting.
Fair enough.
Okay, then. 11B, Finance Director Tim Salisbury will give the council a report on the city's information technology consultant administrator. Tim?
I guess I can put this in a lot of flowery terms that we got done. I've been listening to a lot of breakup music on the way home from work since this occurred. I'm feeling sorry for myself, but on a serious note, we met with Ray Morgan Company about 10 days ago, almost 2 weeks ago. We were officially told that they'd be happy to continue providing our IT services for triple the cost, based upon also upgrading all pieces of hardware and network to their specifications. And even within that specifications, it would still be $6,000 a month. We're currently paying $950 a month for their managed services. And in their next sentence is, oh, by the way, if you need us to refer you elsewhere, we can do so. So. Long story short, I think we don't fit into their business model anymore, and so they've politely decided to end this relationship. So where that puts us at this point in time is I'd like to form, and I've already requested from Sergeant Walter and Mr. Lipsky to form a committee, a tech committee, to one, with the help of either Ray Morgan on the outgoing, or probably preferably whoever comes in, redo our needs assessment. Number two, develop a request for proposal and get another IT services group in here effective July 1. Two, in spite of what the city manager says, and he makes a good point about the archaic nature of our financial software, we need to refocus at this point in time the money allocated for that into network infrastructure. Because I think any new relationship we start at this point in time, we definitely have network infrastructure items that. While the breakup of Ray Morgan is distasteful, the underlying issues that may have caused that are probably fairly valid. So we'll be reprioritizing those funds towards getting our network and our individual workstations in order. And then we'd like to, as part of that RFP process, and hopefully develop a new relationship, take a look at this from an operational versus capital standpoint. You know, there's a lot of movement into looking at your technology from an operational ongoing cost. We've now done that with our copy machines rather than looking at it from a capital. We lease them on an operational basis and turn them over every 60 months. Looking at that similarly with our technology, whether that might be the better route to go than looking at this from a capital purchase standpoint. So in essence, in addition to finding a new IT consultant, we're looking at reviewing how we do business in the use of technology. So the purpose of this was to let you know that that's what has taken place. Both gentlemen are graciously to serve on this committee. They both have far better technological skills than I do. And I'm grateful to them for their willingness to help us out. I'll entertain any questions, but basically at this point in time, it's just to inform council of what has happened and where we're headed.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Gary, do you have any questions?
Oh, no, thank you for the update, Jim. Appreciate it.
No.
Sorry. So... can we do it by July 1st?
I hope so. I can't make absolute promises, but I'm hoping we can, if not get it completed on July 1st, be well on our way to getting there. Now, as far as redoing the network system, yeah, probably not. I think that'll become, you know, one of the first steps in dealing with it. We have some more immediate needs. We're trying to decide with Windows XP going down on April 8th as far as support, I believe, and I'm going to look to start at Walter's number 8. We have 8 workstations that are still XP.
Something like that. Yeah, we've got 3 different operating systems, 3 different versions of Microsoft Office on computers, and just in City Hall alone.
So basically, the bottom line is we're all playing different versions of Tetris, is what he's trying to say. So, don't write that, Susan. We have been functioning on a Band-Aid for many, many years, looking at it from a capital perspective.
I like your idea of not capitalizing this. The only real advantage to doing that in private industry is because you can write it all the heck off. It becomes a tax way to increase stuff. So especially if you're going to try new things and see how they work out. I think going the lease way and then not having to try to dispose of it later when it has,
sure.
It's harder to dispose of, to get rid of than it is to acquire a lot of times. So I like that, going that avenue, yeah, if that's. So,
and we'll see if that ultimately becomes the way to go.
And it's quicker. Okay. Well, I'm glad it's very timely that this appropriation was there.
Well, yeah, I was going to say we're fortunate.
Yeah, that it's already been done. So, yeah, good luck, guys.
So you're looking at an RFP going out to have a new IT firm, hopefully by July 1st?
Our hopes are to have somebody in place.
Okay.
That may be ambitious, but it's either that or start paying them 6 hours, or we can actually, on a temporary basis, do an on-call rated fix-it type. Opposed to manage care services with right. But ultimately our intent is it's time to move on.
Yeah. And then you figure the new contractor will do a needs assessment? You're anticipating that?
It's anticipated we'll receive our existing schematic from Morgan later this week or next week. Part of the RFP, I think, provide that schematic and potential bidder. Let them decide in the process of what they're doing. What their recommendations are in that arena.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Item 11C, consider approval of letters of support for public library proposal to go before the state legislative budget subcommittees in April. Staff?
Thank you, Your Honor. Members of the City Council, I was contacted by Councilmember Domenichini, who conveyed that he had been contacted by a constituent library supporter that the governor in his recent budget proposal had included some funding for libraries in the way of broadband computer support or broadband networking support, and was asked if the council would be willing to support that effort by sending letters off to the legislative budget subcommittees. All of them have been listed as far as the staff reported letters been prepared. The council just needs to authorize having it go from the council out to each of those subcommittee members. So with that, that's why it's here. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions?
Just in the interest of full disclosure, the concerned constituent is my wife.
Okay, thank you.
No questions.
That's probably the most concerned constituent you need to be afraid of, Larry.
So. Yeah, did you ever get flowers for Becky for the?
No, anyway. Okay, no, nothing. No questions. A no-brainer. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Either, so it's consensus of the council?
Yes.
Yes.
Affirmative. It is consensus. Thank you. Item number 12 is council member reports. Larry.
We have two events coming up, veterans events, Toys for Tots fundraiser, spaghetti dinner and dessert sale, Friday, April 4th at Memorial Hall. That's going to be posted at the chamber bulletin board they have in front of the post office. And on Saturday, the next day, the veterans are also having a huge yard sale. And saying that, I just noticed you still got your cheerleading award, and did you kind of show your wife what you did to get that?
I've been so proud of it, Mr. Domenichini, I left it in the office so I could see it every day, so I didn't really show her yet. But I did tell her that I won a prize.
In fact, you're so excited you don't know which
council. Oh, sorry, Mr. Mello.
there was a second place that did go to the other team, though.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Gary?
Well, congratulations once again to our award-winning city manager, I should say. An award-winning city manager. How about that?
That's incredible. Senior guy in the class. Silver senior man in the class.
I think he was 18 years old. That's how we wrote it.
Yeah, the one item to report for this particular meeting, on March 20th, Larry and I attended the Glynn County Transportation Commission meeting. There was no Regional Transit Committee meeting. That meeting was canceled However, the Transportation Commission meeting did go forward. There was an emergency item, an immediate item that needed to be placed on the agenda. It was an unscheduled agenda item that came up after, immediately after the original agenda was posted. And it was a basically a financial emergency situation. There's state improvement, state transportation improvement funds allocations, STIP allocations, to include two of the projects were City of Willows projects. One was mentioned earlier, Skyler and John earlier, the Sacramento Street reconstruction, and also the Butte Street South reconstruction projects. Nearly went escaped because of timeline considerations with county staff and between county staff and Caltrans. So the item came up on the agenda and it was voted to place that item, the emergency item, on the agenda, and it was approved. So the good news is that the projects will go forward down the road. So the deadline was 5 o'clock on Thursday the 20th, the same day we had the meeting at 9 a.m. in the morning. So we were talking about up against the wire, but the project was unanimously, or the application was unanimously approved by the commission. The other major item was Federal Transit Administration Section 5311 grant program application. It provides a 46.67% local match for operational expenditures. And anyway, for the 2013-2014 fiscal year, the apportionment for Glynn County was $188,970, and it was approved that staff will incorporate that amount into the next fiscal year's budget to fund a portion of the operational expenditures for the Glynn Ride bus service. So those were the two major items of concern that came up at the last meeting. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I attended the League of Cities meeting up in Orland that was held on March 14th. I brought some information back for everybody. They did a presentation on water, and they handed out a statewide water action plan. Council Member Domenigini came up later in the evening, so we also had a dinner and a conversation with several of the league people up there that I thought was good. Yeah, very good. Also, there's some information here about a legislative action day. We also, earlier in the day, got to tour a Sierra Nevada cheese company, and we went up to the Orland Art Gallery. The cheese company was gracious enough to give us many samples. I have some in the staff room. I have wine and cheese. Just kidding, just cheese. In the back. It was excellent. I don't know, you know, we sometimes don't know what's in our own backyard, and it was well worth seeing, so I thank them for that. And I'll put this in everybody's box so you can read it at your leisure.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I also attended the league meeting. It's very good. It's nice to see or to hear from some of the other cities, especially the one city council member from Woodland. I can't remember his name. Mm-hmm. He's on the league committee, so it was some very good information. Scary at times when they talk about PERS.
Yeah.
Another event that both Terry and I went to was the Glynn County Farm Bureau's Showcase of Ag dinner last Thursday. County Farm Bureau has this every year. They invite the supervisors. Originally it was a supervisor's dinner many years ago, and it's evolved into this. They also invited both Orland and Willow City Council and some county staff, such as Ed Lamb, finance director, which I told him that we like to shoot the messenger here. He seemed to be unconcerned when it came to animal control costs, but that's another item of discussion. But anyways, it was very good. It was at the Omega Walnut facility on Road 24, about a mile and a half east of Road P. It's a new facility built with local money from area farmers. Walnut processing, state-of-the-art. It is impressive, to say the least, what they have there, what they can do. And like Terry said, you get out and about and see, you'd be surprised at the breadth and diversity of Glen County agriculture. And then dinner was there. Farm Bureau put on a dinner that was catered. And then it was a general discussion with the supervisors afterwards. Most of the talk centered around county budget and funding and state impacts on the county budget, I think was a lot of it. There's a couple other issues discussed, but that was the main thing. It was a good opportunity to meet with Farm Bureau members, board of directors, and officers, and also with the Board of Supervisors and Orland City Council. I think they had three council members anyways. And there was four of the supervisors. Supervisor McDaniel left early, and Supervisor Villegas had another meeting in Sacramento. But it's a good opportunity. I strongly recommend the other council members trying to attend next March when they have it. It'll be at a different place. Their plan is every year is a different place. They previously had it at California Olive Ranch. I can't remember if that was last year or year before. So very good opportunity to visit with the other elected officials and learn what's going on in the county. That's about all I got to say.
Very good. Thank you very much. I don't have anything to report this meeting. However, we do have item number 13, which is executive session. Pursuant to California Government Code Sections 54950 at SEC, the City Council will hold a closed session. More specific information regarding this closed session is indicated below. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.3, the public will have an opportunity to directly address the legislative body on the below items prior to the council convening in a closed session. Public comments are generally restricted to 3 minutes. Item 13A is conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Section 54954.5F and 54957.6. Agency negotiator, City Council, City Manager Steve Holsinger, Finance Director Tim Salisbury, Police Chief Jason Dahl. The employee organizations are the Willows Public Safety Association. Is there anything from general public that would like to speak? No? Okay, very good. We will convene to closed session, and if you would please clear the chambers as soon as possible, please. We will come get participants in a few moments.
Yes.